I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Sarah Jones. Sarah is the founder of Introverted Alpha, the premier dating coaching company for introverted men. Introverted Alpha has become the strong alternative to pickup artist advice, an oasis for men who want genuine connections with women. Sarah has loved introverted men all her life, and she naturally brings out their best. She's been featured in Business Insider, Forbes Entrepreneur, Ramit Sethi's Growth Lab, Entrepreneur on Fire, So Money, and many more. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, David. I'm really happy to be here.
So I'm really curious to know, Sarah, how did you go from being a financially disempowered Southern young woman to a successful entrepreneur?
Well, when I was growing up, every time I learned a new creative craft, then that was going to be my career, you know? So I started with painting and drawing, and my family saw and my teachers saw talent in me in that. I ended up majoring in art in college. I was like, all right, I'm going to be an artist. And as soon as I learned how to write, oh, I'm going to be a writer. And then I was singing in my grandfather's choir and in several other choirs in high school and dancing. I mean, I was doing all these things. And my fantasy was to have a little shop where people would come in and just experience different things I'd created and feel something from it that touched them and be able to take it home and it impact their lives positively. And I didn't think about the business side of that at all, really. I just thought about how wonderful it would feel to have people coming into my space that was a little store of some sort and experiencing something that made their lives better. But then with business talk and just even like livelihood talk, it was pretty complex as I was growing up because my father was just sort of in and out of work and living on his father's earnings, which was very interesting for his own identity as a man growing up. And he kept emphasizing for us to be independent, you know, because he I think was unsettled about how he was being. And that was interesting to see. And so there was all this financial abundance that we were living off of, but it was very frugal. I mean, you know, you couldn't buy something. If you picked out something at the grocery store that was 5 cents more than something else, like all hell was going to break loose, you know? And so it was very, just kind of weird, a lot of tension for me with like, okay, so I know that what my dad's doing right now is not or should not be an option for me. At the same time, my friends that are growing up or going off to college, there's this joke about like getting the MRS degree, which in Alabama, what that basically means, you go to college so you can meet a man who's then going to take care of you. And I was like, that just doesn't feel right for me. That just doesn't feel right. But it was all in the water. You know, that's like what women did is you go to get a degree, but what you're really doing is meet a man so that he can support you. And for many people, that's a beautiful life. Like, but it just didn't feel right for me. So I couldn't quite find my footing. And I was also becoming very religious and was just kind of waiting on that to sort of save me or direct me or something. So I wasn't waiting on a physical man. I was like waiting on God to kind of like figure this all out for me, all these practical details. So I was supported through college. And then I had my first job out of college. I moved to Las Vegas with my first boyfriend. That's where his parents lived and got my first 9-to-5. Well, I had summer jobs that were 9-to-5, but my first longer term 9-to-5 doing home phone sales. And I did really well at that, but it wasn't fulfilling. And I was like, how long can I do this? Is this what adulthood is, where you just sit here and or stand in my case and do something that, you know, you can be good at it, but it just doesn't feel creative. It just doesn't feel like that thing you imagine that you do, you know, with your life. And
if you're in your early 20s, it's a lot of years to do that.
Oh, yeah. I was 21 when I finished school. So it was like just, oh my God, what even is this? But I was wanting to learn what it was like to live paycheck to paycheck, because that's a phrase that I'd heard in my circles of the privileged suburb that I grew up in. you know, and how that just was another reality from what people where I grew up experienced. And I just thought, well, yeah, but that's the reality of most people. In fact, most people in the world may not even have a paycheck to speak of, like, you know, they're in poverty. And then the rest of people are living paycheck to paycheck. So I want to go find out, what does that even mean? What does that feel like? What is that like to be just a normal person that has to work and doesn't have just all this excess to fall back on? And when I moved out west, actually, you know, that was sort of a, I was just moving, but my dad was like, well, you know, you may not get your inheritance if you go out there, because it was just this big emphasis on staying where you are, doing what was expected, and that's it. And I said, well, that's fine. This is more important to me than money, this is more important. So that's totally fine. That's literally fine with me. And it was. So that morphed into eventually going to coaching school. There's some things in between there, but I went to coaching school and I was like, that by that point, I was excited about having a business. And it was the first time I'd really thought that I had what it took to make a business. I was good in school and I had these other talents, but business and logic just seemed like something that had been boring, that men talked about when I was growing up. You know, it was just boring business talk that I didn't think was anything interesting. And then it just seemed like something that, you know, it just kind of seemed for men in my mind. And so the fact that I was going to pursue this, I didn't think about it so much. Oh, no, I'm a woman pursuing this. I just figured it just felt like I'm pursuing this. I didn't feel like I'm pursuing this as a woman. I just felt like I am pursuing this. And then I had to learn a lot about business on the way, you know, to make a company, you've got to learn some things. And it ended up being so fun for me to learn. And I'm really grateful for the perspective that I had, which was that there are things to learn. There are people to teach me. And I'm going to learn from them and I'm going to pay them to teach me so that I can do this. Because I know that if I know what to do, I know that I can do it. And from that point, that started being that with having that in mind and 3-4 years ago, and that I made my business Introverted Alpha shortly after. I was an apprentice for a dating coaching company for a year. And that was a very good learning experience. And I told him on day one, I'm going to go make my own and I'm going to make you successful in the meantime while I learn from you. And that worked really well. And that was 2013. In 2014, I made Introverted Alpha and I've been learning so much about business ever since then. But it feels so good to be doing this. And it's so far away from what I even thought I could do or thought about doing growing up.
Mm. And Sarah, did you have a period of time when you were living paycheck to paycheck?
Yes. In fact, in some ways I am right now. In fact, not even in some ways, I actually am right now. Yeah. You know, every month we make it, but it's like we barely make it. And, you know, it's tight still. Yeah. So I am right now, David. And I think I've been focusing on building a savings to kind of buffer that instead of borrowing from my tax money and then paying that back before the taxes, you know, all that stuff. I don't know if you know all that stuff. I know all that stuff. Anybody else listening who knows that? I know that too. I'm doing that. So that next level for me is to have a really good savings and to have my expenses measured in such a way that it's not just barely making it, you know, every month. That would feel really nice. And I know I'll get there. I'm not there at this moment, but that's where my intention is.
That's great. And how does it feel to be just making it versus what you grew up with?
Gosh, well, it feels good because I'm in control. I'm making it happen. I'm not waiting and hoping for a handout or for something to just, I don't feel like things are happening to me. I feel like I'm making it happen because I am. And it also feels like I'm contributing to society because I am. So the things that it feels is because that is how it is. It's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
It's a huge difference. And I feel so proud and thankful because even the people that raised me in a way to kind of not even, because they couldn't imagine this for me either. You know, I'm actually at my grandmother's house right now in Alabama. I was in San Francisco. I'm on my way to New York in a couple of months and I'm here in the meantime. And she just like shakes her head. She's like, I'm so proud of you. I mean, how did you even do this? Well, she helped, you know, she didn't know or mean to or know what we were headed to. But, you know, she loved me and supported me. And that was very helpful. I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, the love and support of the people who are close to you is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, where did you first turn to learn about business?
I first turned into the coaching school that I was at, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, IPEC Coaching. They had a business auxiliary sort of program that I was in, and it was just phone calls with this person who was teaching how to make a coaching business. And it was eye-opening just to even be talking about business stuff, but I didn't retain very much of it, or it wasn't really. I started looking other places. And when I took Ramit Sethi's Zero to Launch course in early 2014, that's what really did it for me. I mean, I've been following Ramit's work for a couple years already at that point. So now it's been several years. And I just really liked how straight shooting he was and is, and that he wasn't, because some of the teachings I was in the meantime between the coaching school and him was like, you know, just believe, you know, you can do it. Just, you know, set your goal and achieve. And it was like, oh my God, can we just have real talk about real business things? And so he was someone that I knew could and would do that. And when he first came out with his course on how to make an online business, not a coaching business, an online business where you're selling, you know, helpful information to people. Now, I packaged that as coaching at first, and then again, now today in a different form. But I just knew that if I could take his course and learn from him, I knew that I would be learning really useful, proper things. And I did. So I'm so, so, so grateful to him.
Yeah. So that leads me to a question, because there's so much out there that is aimed at entrepreneurs, particularly early stage entrepreneurs, that promises all kinds of things. They say they're going to teach you all kinds of things that are going to help you catapult yourself forward. How do you discern what is really likely to be helpful for you and what is not worth both the money and the time to invest in the program?
Such a great question. And I've learned by buying pretty much everything and then being happy with some purchases and not with others. So I've been liberal with trying all that out. And I think I've been able to learn a lot. So now I get to help whoever's listening. That's great. So in hindsight, I would say this is what you really want to watch out for. Huge red flags is this is the one way to make a funnel. It will work for everyone. Mm-hmm. Absolute red flag. Don't do it. Don't do it. Or if they're very vague, or they just feel like, because used to be, I thought if somebody was confident, then that was based on something real. I mean, because I could tell if somebody was actually confident versus if they were just, you know, not, versus if they were not. And I worked with one company who I could tell they really were confident. They really were, but it was kind of vague, and it was kind of, they were like overconfident to where it's like, oh yeah, we've got this. And then in the end they didn't. And even they thought they did a great job, but they refunded me for a part of it because even they had to admit, which was hard for them. They basically didn't, but they even had to admit that it was awful. The service was awful. So now my lesson is, okay, if they're overconfident, because basically, are they overconfident? Are they confident in kind of like a dismissive way where they're like, well, duh, of course we've got this. I don't know. In my experience, it sounded real good, but then they didn't. That's another red flag. Let's see. And another red flag is, oh my gosh, it's just easy. It's just so easy. This works for everyone. You're going to make crazy amounts of money. Look at this person made this much. Look at this person made this. It's just crazy. And it's just so easy. And you just got to align yourself with the flow or whatever. Oh my God, don't do that. Don't do that. You have to learn. It's every audience is different. And not only is every audience different, the things that work for the same audience change. And no one tells you that. If they say that there is one funnel, there is one system, not only are they saying that there's one system for every audience, which is absolutely not true. And I can say that, I will defend that to the end of my days. That's not true. Second thing is that then they're saying that it'll work forever for your audience. And that's also not true, because my guys, I will be speaking with them in a certain way and promoting my program in a certain way, and it will work for 3-4 months. And then it stops working. And then I do something else. And then that works for 3-4 months. So the way I communicate with them changes. And the way I'm doing things changes. And I don't know, maybe that's extreme for my company compared to other companies. But I do think that as people grow and change and evolve and they get used to stuff, I think people are getting more savvy all the time. And I think that consumers are way more intelligent than we often give them credit for in common marketing speak. My gosh, they're like smart people. At least the people I want to do business with are smart, extremely savvy, logical, perceptive people. So I think anything that oversimplifies that is definitely a red flag.
Mm. And would you say that there are also differences for each business owner, so that the one, even if somebody's saying this way works for this kind of audience, there's also the other red flag could be that this way might work with one entrepreneur but not another entrepreneur.
Exactly, because there's so many different ways to market. Everybody has different strengths and different sweet spots. You know, like we were talking before we started recording here about different paces with podcast recordings. Just like that, you know, you prefer one pace, someone else may prefer another pace. And that kind of thing is important. And I don't think it's sustainable as entrepreneurs to try to fit ourselves into a box. It's going to come across as less than genuine and passionate, because it will be, compared to finding our sweet spot, which honestly is a process. But I think if we have someone leading that is as open as possible to things being a process, like with our guys, you know, dating and business are very similar. And in dating, oh my God, so much of dating advice is so similar to so much of business advice, which is, here's the way to do things. It's not really about genuine connection. It's more about following these steps and tricks and techniques to get people to think something that you want them to think, which just makes me mad to even say that. Compared to what we teach them is, you have an awesome core. Like, you have some amazing things about you, and intrinsically you are very attractive. What we're going to do is unearth that, bring that out, then see what you want in your life and in a woman. And, you know, your life is first, because the woman fits within that, because it's very centric around them, because they are themselves. So that's the life we're building for them. And then connecting with these women becomes very genuine, very easeful, because they are doing all this pre-work of knowing themselves and then being strategic about where to meet these women and how to communicate with them in a way that really is genuine and really does work to connect them. We're not trying to make these women think anything. They're just connecting. So I think the same thing can be very successfully done in business. It's like, okay, what is your unique offering, like, you know, not necessarily the tangible packaged offering, but what is it that you're bringing that is special, that is valuable in the marketplace, just like valuable in the dating marketplace, right? What is that thing that's valuable? And then bringing that out. And then what kind of business lifestyle do we want? And then what kind of audience there as well? And those things can, you know, kind of go there hand in hand. And then how to communicate that. So if all those considerations about who we are and what feels really good for us are taken into account early on, then all of the tactics can be matched and mapped and customized to that, so that it all feels pretty seamless, rather than just starting from like, okay, here's what to say to a woman to blah, blah, blah. Well, what kind of woman is that that we're talking about? What if it has nothing to do with who you want? Same thing with the audience. Oh, here's how to get your audience to take action. Well, oh my God, what audience are we even talking about? And just the whole jargon. Like, I also, another good red flag is, how much does this person that you're considering learning from use a whole bunch of jargon, just things people say, they don't even think about what they're saying. Like, you know, take action, for example, that's mm-hmm. a big jargon. It's like, what the hell does that even mean? What does that even mean? I mean, I think at least I prefer, because genuineness is a big value of mine personally. So I, and thoughtfulness as well. So I really prefer, and I know if I'm clicking with somebody, it's because the way that they're communicating is fresh and thoughtful, and they're really taking things into consideration. They're not just rehashing something that 15 million other people have said that's like cool to say right now that they can make a buck off of or something. I mean, you know, bless those people, but still, we don't even do business with them. So I think that's part of being discerning, is how much is this person being thoughtful, and how much are they really considering what they're telling you that is original and really wants to understand you and help to bring out your best.
Right. Now, on the flip side, in terms of understanding your audience and building trust with them, are there are there elements that you think are really critical to being able to build that kind of trust successfully? And I suspect your answer probably will work both for the dating life that you use in your business and also for business itself.
Yeah, definitely. Well, number one, most important, is choose an audience that you genuinely respect. You respect them. You're not trying to pull a fast one on them, you know? You're not thinking, oh my God, these stupid people, you know? Because a lot of people do. A lot of dating advice for men talks that way about women, and vice versa. A lot of dating advice for women talks that way about men. There's objectification going both ways about different topics. But a lot of business advice goes that way with like, oh, you know, just get these leads, you know, they won't know any difference. Just send them onto this page, send them onto there, and they won't even know what's happening, blah, blah, blah. That's ridiculous. I don't think that's going to be long-term sustainable. And even if it is, it's not going to be for the kind of people that any of us are going to want to do business with. We want to do business with savvy people. And so first of all, respecting your people genuinely, that because if you believe in what you're doing, which you would, otherwise you wouldn't be doing it. Well, you know, if as long as you have integrity, right, you believe in what you're doing. Well, the people who are going to be drawn to it are going to be awesome people, right? Like they get it. They get what you're doing and they think it's great. So now you already have that in common. So there's this deep bond that's already inherent in a business client relationship, or not necessarily client, but, you know, whoever, two people doing business where the product is really good. There's a inherent mutual respect there. That over time, as it's refined over time, that respect just deepens and it enriches. That's certainly what I'm finding with my guys. Like I've been doing all these phone calls for their reviews of my program. I have written reviews. I've never done audio reviews. And I'm just blown away by the things that they're saying from the bottom of their hearts. And then after the call, they're like, any other thing you need to do for me, just let me know. Cause I know I paid you and I know I did this, but like, I just still feel like I owe you cause you helped me so much. Any other thing I can do for you, just tell me. It's amazing. So that kind of respect, I mean, I just think that really speaks to the longevity opportunity for this continual relationship between my business and my clients. And that's really fun. And it's also smart. It's also smart because you know what, if you ever try to take a shortcut or you don't, which is only if you ever don't respect your people, then anybody worth bringing on as a client that is, you know, savvy and knows what they're doing and gets you and blah, 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 they're going to remember that. People remember things for years. So it's important that you always communicate with more integrity than you see your peers communicating with. I got one email from a reader who said, or maybe he was a client. I think he became a client. He said, because we were asking, how come you joined the program? How come you joined right now? And he said, I've been on y'all's email list for over a year and not once did I receive anything spammy or scammy in any way, which would have been very easy for you to do. And you never did it once. And that meant a lot to him. So with those more discerning audiences, it's respecting them and treating them with respect and all of your communication and really genuinely caring about them, that's going to come through. You don't have to make them think you care. Okay. You just have to actually care and then communicate and they'll feel it.
Yeah. Sarah, do you find that there's ever a challenge in figuring out when you're trying to communicate with your audience and you want to be helpful to your audience, trying to discern where the line is between what you're offering your audience as helpful as part of your marketing message versus what it is that you offer that you actually charge for?
Mm-hmm. Like how to communicate, which balance or how to communicate those different things.
Right. Because some things you're going to be offering that you're not going to charge for and they're helpful, and other things you're going to be offering that are also helpful, but you are going to charge for.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, the way I have it is at this point, I only have one high-end program. It's just one program. It's 12 weeks. It's currently $7,000. You know, it's a high-end program. Mm-hmm. And those guys get everything. They get the absolute best. They get, you know, we've refined this over several years. Amazing coaches. And not only the coach they work directly with, but the support of our whole team. because we only take on a small number of clients at once, so we can really serve them and focus on them. So it's very clear that, like, when you pay, that's what you're getting. You're getting this whole experience that's going to result in you having this skill set that's tailored to you and who you are as a man, and is self-actualized in the process. But we can't do that so well outside of that structured program. But we still can give a lot of insights and a lot of help and even a lot of step-by-steps and whatnot. So that's what the blog is for. So, like, for example, so the way I'm doing it practically is like this. Today, I sent out an email about this mega blog post that I wrote. It's 5,000 words. It's crazy. It even has a table of contents. It's nuts. I'm so excited to share it with them. I made it in part for finding a lot of clients through Google search, and I really wanted to rank higher for this term of introverted men are attractive, because that's our whole angle, and I really wanted to rank higher for it. So the way to do that is to have a really solid, super good long form post about that. And then, of course, I was excited to share it with my list, because now they get all this value from that post. So they really benefit directly from this thing I made. So I shared it with them. And I said, but, you know, this isn't even the best thing coming for you this month, because I have been doing all these interviews and these guys are so inspiring and I can't wait to share them with you. I'm going to share the first one later this week. Then I'm going to share several interviews, but the interviews are, they are inspiring in and of themselves. You can listen and be inspired without even considering becoming a client. But if you are considering joining, those interviews are going to be very compelling and really help you feel very good and solid about a decision to join, if you decide to join. So it's leading towards the program. And then, of course, at the end of the month, I'm going to have emails just about the program, just kind of tying it together with all these interviews and how helpful the program is for the right guys at the right time. So there's a lot of guys who are not in a financial place to join, but they say, they email me and they're like, I can't join yet. You know, I'm working on my finances, blah, blah, blah. But please don't take me off your email list, because I love reading all your emails. I love it. And I'm like, okay, great. That's really good feedback. I'm really glad. So the idea is that everyone benefits from the energy in the emails and the content in the emails and the other material, regardless of whether they're going to become a client or not. But all of my communication is also massaging that process along for the people who would be excellent clients, and to help them feel really good about taking that step when it's right for them.
Right. And it also sounds to me like you're being really clear on the expectations that you're setting as part of the communication, whether it's part of the marketing process, the sales process, or the client delivery process.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very clear. It's very well set, because, you know, they like that structure. I think structure is very supportive for me. It is for my team and for the guys too, for the readers and for the clients. The structure is key, and I think that helps to differentiate what the program is versus what all the free material on our site is.
Yeah, and I think you're right. The structure definitely helps. Sarah, whom do you know personally who has done a remarkable job at Smashing Plateaus?
My friend Peter Nguyen of theessentialman.com. I just adore him. I love how much depth and integrity he brings to his work. I'm on his email list. I'm not on very many lists. I'm on his. And he just brings his A game 100% of the time. And we had a conversation about a year ago about how to work in coaching into his offerings. And he was so receptive. You know, every now and then I'll do that and I'll get on the phone and help someone out. And, you know, they may or may not even like be that receptive or that into that conversation, you know, but he was so into it, so receptive. Sent me chocolates after, which was super sweet, and is just doing so well. And I feel really proud of him. And I just love watching him do his thing.
Great example. Sarah, what's coming up in the near future for you?
Well, I am moving to New York City and I'm so excited. I'm super excited. And I'm moving my business home base there. We all work remotely from all over North America. But, you know, that's going to become the official home of Introverted Alpha, New York. I'm super excited about it. And yeah, I move in just a couple months.
Yeah, sounds great. And yeah, you and I also talked about getting together. So I'm looking forward to having you join me here in New York.
I'm looking forward to meeting you and to enjoying New York with you.
Yeah, it's a great place. Sarah, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
You can go to introvertedalpha.com. And there's a place in the menu to get a free ebook, which is the easiest way to then for us to be in touch. You'll be on my email list. And I just continue to hear great things about the ebook. Even if you're not single or a man. There's exercises in there on finding your most attractive qualities and your deepest values that I think you'll enjoy. It's a fun process.
Yeah, it sounds great. Well, Sarah, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Sarah Jones, founder of Introverted Alpha. Thank you again, Sarah, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.